If you turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, we will continue there tonight. Galatians chapter 3 in particular. Galatians chapter 3. We're going to continue some of the thoughts that we've been looking at. Last time I was here, we looked at verses 1 to 5. We didn't really get much time to look at verse 5, but it's self-explanatory to a degree. This evening, we will be looking at verses 6 down to verse 14 of this chapter. And for a Bible reading, I think we'll start at verse 1 of chapter 3 and read right down to the end of verse 14. So if you would read along with me, please. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless us tonight, that you would illuminate our minds when it comes to this scripture. And Father, I pray that you would guide my thoughts, guide my words this evening, and that what is said and what is heard is your word, and it is delivered by the power of your Spirit. We pray, Father, that your Spirit would minister to the needs the people have here tonight. And Lord, perhaps there's one or two here that don't know you. Perhaps they've been brought up in the church, but have not yet placed their faith in you. Dear Father, I pray this evening that you would show them their need to accept Christ. Pray that your blessing would rest upon us, that your Spirit would minister through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Blessed, Cursed, Redeemed. Blessed, cursed, redeemed, You guys can't say that with my... It's up here. Blessed, cursed, or redeemed? How is a man made just before God? That's the age-old question that Job had. We've looked at it a number of times through Galatians, because that's what Paul's addressing. How is a man made just before God? Man throughout all the ages have struggled with the same question. How does this sinful man enter into the presence of a holy God? How do we do it? Through being good, or by faith in Jesus Christ? Faith in an historic act and promise of God himself. And the truth tonight that we will see is that salvation always comes by faith. Always has, always will be by faith. In Galatians 3, Paul has proclaimed in verses 1 to 5 that by the experience of the Galatians, they had experienced so many things. They'd seen Christ proclaimed as crucified by the Apostle Paul. By their experience, and also we see this evening by Scripture, they should have known that justification is by faith. Last time he used experience to convince them of this truth. He said, I preached Christ before you. You believed by faith that you're saved, not by works, by faith alone. How could you turn from that true, simple gospel, belief in the faith in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice upon the cross? How can you turn from the simple message to one of salvation by works? When you got saved, you received Christ. You received all of the Spirit of God. You received everything you need. How can you seek to be made perfect by the flesh? You've begun in the Spirit. How can you seek to be made perfect by the works of the flesh? He was trying to address this issue. By their experience, they should have known. Why go back to the law? It contradicts your experience. And verse 5 we didn't get to in a great deal. Verse 5 says, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you." They should have known by the experience of God the Father working miracles in their very presence. People getting saved, miraculous things happening, signs and wonders, because the New Testament wasn't complete at this stage. Miraculous signs, God was at work, and it was all by faith. They should have known by experience that salvation was by faith. But Paul turns from that proof of experience to a higher authority. He doesn't just say you should know it because you've experienced it. He says, no, you should have known it, but this is the scripture that backs it up. Now, Peter uses the same pattern. You don't need to turn there. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, he's talking about being eyewitnesses of the majesty of God. And then he talks about being with him together in the Holy Mount. He's making an argument based on experience. And then we all know the verse. In verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. He says, you know, we were eyewitnesses of Christ. I was with him in the Holy Mount, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. The prophecy was far more valuable, carried far more weight. He changes gears, does Peter, and starts preaching from the Scriptures, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Experience is great, providing it lines up with the Scripture. We have a more sure word, the Scripture itself. That's what Paul's saying here. Experience taught you that we're made just by faith, but it seems you're a little bit confused, Galatian believers. Your experience taught you the truth, but I want to explain to you from the Scriptures the truth. Now, what Scripture is Paul referring to here? The New Testament's not complete. He doesn't have scroll upon scroll or Bibles to offer the people and turn them in the Scriptures of the New Testament to. No, he's talking about the Old Testament. And in these few verses here in Galatians 3, Paul uses the Old Testament to defend salvation by faith. He uses the Old Testament to defend that doctrine. And there are a lot of people that are confused about this. They think that Old Testament salvation was by the works of the law. God never taught that. That was not the way of salvation. God doesn't change. He's consistent. Salvation is now and always has been by faith. That's the way God's designed it. Back then, man was just as incapable as you or I of making himself righteous and acceptable before God. The Jews were no more righteous than you and I. They had no ability to stand justified before God on the basis of their own works. They could not do it. It was by faith in Christ. Now, can you imagine the argument coming from the Judaizers? You know, if you want to be blessed, you need to be an Abraham. If you want to be blessed, you need to be circumcised. You need to be a Jew. You need to be of the father Abraham in a national sense. So if you're a Gentile, you need to become a Jew. You need to be circumcised. You need to be made a Jew first, because only Jews... God only blesses the Jews. That was the argument that the Judaizers were coming with. First become a Jew, then receive the blessings. So Paul, speaking to these proud, self-righteous Jews, can you imagine what they would use to support their doctrine? The Old Testament Scripture. The Jews love the Scripture, and that is, no one's going to dispute that fact. But Paul takes the Old Testament and basically says, here, let me show you what it really means. In these 8 verses that we look at, there are 6 quotes from the Old Testament. And you wonder why my head's kind of spinning this week. My head's gone from Galatians to Romans to Deuteronomy to Genesis and back and forth about 10 times. Because that's what Paul does. He takes the listener from the current present experience of Christ and he goes right back to Genesis, back to Abraham to explain that justification is by faith. He says right back. And in fact, the Scriptures that Paul turns to, I have a very strong suspicion that they were the arguments that were coming from the Judaizers. Their casing point would have been Abraham. You know, you need to be circumcised. God told Abraham to be circumcised. Paul says, you know what? Abraham was saved by faith. That's what he says. And all these scriptures that come up time and time again, I suspect that he is making a defense against the attack that had come from these false teachers. 6 times he quotes the Old Testament. So here we have Old Testament theology from a former Pharisee turned apostle about how salvation is by faith. And it is above my head. I won't try to convince you otherwise. very difficult passage of Scripture. But I hope as we work our way through it that I'm able to explain some things and the Spirit can illuminate our hearts as He has done mine. There are two words repeated in the passage, blessed and cursed. Blessed and cursed, and you see them a number of times. Blessings and cursings. That reminds me a little bit of Deuteronomy. There's a whole list of blessings and cursings back in Deuteronomy. Where do you think the Jew found his blessing? In the law. Keeping the law. Doing what God says. And being part of Abraham. Being one of the seed of Abraham, because in thee shall all nations be blessed. And they get hung up on the in Abraham part, and they think that in order to receive God's blessing, you've got to be part of Abraham and his seed and his people. They were so proud of the New Testament. They were so proud of their association with Abraham. Time and time in the New Testament, you see it over and over again. The Jews and the Pharisees talking up Abraham, exalting Abraham. Christ explains differently. Paul says here the blessings are associated with faith. The cursing is linked to the law. So there's blessings and cursings here in Galatians 3. Each of the curses relates to the law. All of the blessings come upon those that have faith. Blessings and cursings. As Paul presents this Old Testament scripture to defend the doctrine of salvation or justification by faith and faith alone, he comes across it in two ways. First of all, he uses a positive argument. Secondly, he uses a negative argument, and then he sums it up by presenting Christ once more. First of all, a positive argument, positive proof from the Scriptures, follows a second negative argument, and then concludes with Christ. First of all, the positive argument from Scripture, the example of Abraham. Now, you can be sure that the Judaizers were using Abraham as an example of the need to get circumcised, because that's what God said to Abraham, and there's no doubt about that. That's what God told Abraham to do. And that was a sign for him and his children and children that they were part of the separate people of God. That was something that was commanded in the Old Testament. But I can imagine these Judaizers using this point to say, see, you need to be circumcised. And Paul says, see, Abraham, well, God required, this is what the Judaizers would say. See, Abraham, God required that he and his seed be circumcised to receive the blessing. And Paul turns it around. He says, well, how was Abraham saved? How was he justified? Was he justified by circumcision? No. Was he justified by law-keeping? No, he wasn't. He was justified by believing, by faith. Was he saved by the law? Well, that came 450 years later. God told him 14 years after he was justified to be circumcised, so neither of those are the truth. He was blessed by faith, and we too can be blessed like Abraham as we believe. Read with me verse 6, and this is a direct quote from Genesis 15, verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham was a man who believed God, and he's an encouraging man. You read in Genesis 12 about Abram, how God appeared to Abram at the age of 75 and said, get thee out of this land, go unto a country which I will show you. Something you don't know. Leave your family, your friends, your business, all the security, all you know, and leave here, go somewhere, and I'm not going to tell you where. But Abraham was a man who believed God and did what he said. He believed. He believed God when he said that he would bear a son. He believed God when he said, offer up that son upon the altar upon Mount Moriah. And he believed God when God said that in thee, in thy seed, shall all the nations be blessed. He believed God. Genesis 15:6, and I'll read it to you, it's the same as what it says here in Galatians 3:6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Turn over with me, would you please, to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, the Apostle Paul gives us two examples of how God saved people before the coming of Jesus Christ. Those two people are Abraham and David. So in Romans chapter 4, we see here the same argument in a sense. Now we won't look at David in particular, concentrate on Abraham here for the sake of time. We see the same verse quoted again. Romans 4 verse 3. What saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. This word counted, we've read a number of times, is an accounting term. It's an accounting term. It's a bit like having a ledger. You know, I have all the debits and the credits on the ledger. Everything's recorded there, and at the bottom there's a total. Well, this ledger of life, so to speak, is one which records all of our sin before God. And God removed the record of all of Abraham's sin, just as he has yours and mine, because he transferred it to the ledger book of Jesus Christ. The same thing. He believed by faith. Jesus Christ took the sins of Abraham upon himself when he became a man and died upon the cross. All of Abraham's sins weren't reckoned or charged against him, but they were reckoned or charged to Jesus Christ. He bore his sin in his body upon the tree. Abraham didn't work for his salvation. Read verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Abraham was imputed as righteous because he had faith in Jesus Christ. You say he didn't know Christ. He was years and years before Christ. How could he have faith in that which he didn't know? I believe he knew. So you can disagree with me, that's fine. But I'm going to quote what Jesus said in John 8:56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. I believe that Abraham, by faith in something to come, understood the Messiah would come and die upon a cross. He understood that in his seed, and that seed wasn't plural, that seed was singular, in one man of the seed of Abraham shall all the nations be blessed. And Abraham understood that. He believed by faith in that death upon the cross. And because of his faith in that death upon the cross, his sins were wiped out, laid upon him that bore his sins upon the cross, and he was accounted righteous. He saw the coming day of Jesus' death and resurrection. He looked forward and believed. Abraham believed on him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. It's the same God we believe in, no different. And that's something we're all familiar with. We should be familiar with that. That Abraham was saved the same way we're saved. He believed in the same God we believe in. We look back to the cross of Jesus Christ and believe by faith. We weren't there, we didn't see it. But we know it happened because it's written in Scripture. Abraham looked forward and he understood that it would happen because God revealed certain things to him. He believed on Christ the same as us. And the only way for anyone to be saved before Christ, after Christ, was to believe in that death upon the cross. He was counted as righteous 14 years before circumcision, 450 years before the law. It wasn't circumcision or law keeping that earned God's blessing. No, it was simply believing in Christ. Paul takes Abraham and says, you know what, if you guys want to use Abraham as an example of need to be circumcised, I'll use him too as an example. How was he saved? He was saved by faith. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Let's turn back to Galatians, if you would please. Keep a finger in Romans, if you're able to. Verse 7. This is the positive example. Abraham got saved by believing. He was accounted righteous by his faith. It says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. That's just basically saying that we, like Abraham, are saved in the same way. We are too the children of faith. In a spiritual sense, we are the children of Abraham. And not in a physical way. I'm not a Jew. I've never been a Jew and never will be a Jew. I'm not a physical child of Abraham. But I am a spiritual child of Abraham. In a sense that he is kind of like the first father of faith. He believed what God said. He believed what God revealed to him about the coming Messiah, and he placed his trust in him. And we follow that example. Excuse me for a second. We follow that example. We're not blessed by keeping the law or being made a Jew by ceremony or birth. No, the blessings fall on the spiritual children of Abraham through faith in Christ. Verse 8, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. In thee shall all nations be blessed. The heathen would be justified by faith. Through the seed of Abraham, who would come? Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was the promised one. If you read verse 16 of Galatians, and I know we're reading a lot of Scripture, verse 16 of Galatians, now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. The blessings were promised to the seed of Abraham. The nations would be blessed in the Messiah. The Judaizers would kind of conclude something different. They would say, in order to receive the blessings of God, you need to be one of Abraham's children. You need to be in Abraham. They would read that to say, in Abraham shall all nations be blessed. So the only way to get the blessing is to be a Jew, so you need to become a Jew to get the blessing. That was their logic. Only circumcised people could ever be righteous. It's not true. No one could ever participate in the blessings of the Messiah unless he was circumcised. They thought they were blessed in Abraham. They thought that that was the source of spiritual blessings. They thought they inherited the blessings by parentage. My parents were Jews, I'm a Jew, and God blesses us, we're God's chosen people. It's just a matter of fact, just the way of it. They inherited it, perhaps by ceremony. They went through a ceremony when they were younger. So they're a Jew, now they're one of God's children, but there's no circumcision of the heart. And I worry today, this is where the application comes in for us this evening. There are many that are born into a Christian home, but make no circumcision of the heart. There are many that come from as old as they can remember. You say, when were you saved? I don't know, I've always gone to church. So I went to Sunday school, I went to kids' club, I go to church every week. You ask the question, when were you saved? I don't know, I've always been saved. We need to be careful with that response. Because people grow up in a Christian home and presume that the blessings fall on them because they're part of the family. But that's not the way God works. There needs to be a commitment from the individual. And the reason I preach this is because kids grow up all the time. If I was to ask a three-year-old, they'd probably say they're a Christian because mum and dad are Christians. And that's fine for a three-year-old who doesn't understand it, but when a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 15-year-old says the same thing, there's a problem because they've reached an age of understanding. They need to make a decision. These people, these Jews, thought they were blessed in Abraham. They thought the family caused them to be blessed. You know, a lot of people in our country, they're in Australia, when the census form comes out, however often it is, religion, Christian, I suppose, tick. They're not Christian. They never will be, well, they never have been. But they think they are. There's a lot of people out there that kind of guess they're Christians, kind of guess they're going to go to heaven because they live in Australia, which is not true. Many people think they're blessed by a ceremony. My wife was one of those for a long time. She was raised Lutheran and she thought because she was baptized as a child, she was a Christian. The ceremony granted her the blessings of God. That's not true. You don't gain the blessings, you don't gain salvation, you're not made one of God's people by ceremony, by birth, or by nation. It's got nothing to do with those things. It's all to do with placing faith in Jesus Christ. In thee shall all nations be blessed. You know, even the Old Testament, this is quoting, where is it quoting from? Genesis 12, verse 3. In thee shall all nations be blessed. The Old Testament predicted that nations would be blessed as nations. The Jews who thought that you needed to become a Jew in order to get the blessings were wrong. Because the Bible says nations will be blessed. In thee shall all nations be blessed. The Gentiles will be blessed. The heathen will be blessed. You don't have to become a Jew for it. It's not by circumcision, not by nation, not by family, but by faith. What about the negative argument from Scripture? We've seen the blessing of faith like Abraham. Let's look at the curse of the law. Let's look at that negative proof from verses 10 down to 12. Verses 6 to 9, we saw that faith justified Abraham, showed what faith did. Faith saves, faith justifies, declares righteous. What does the law do? Condemns, curses, doesn't save. These verses are tricky. These three verses from verse 10 down to 12, I found it easier to reverse them. And I was talking this afternoon to the Lord and talking to Dana as well, saying, can I do that? God put it here in this order. And it is a tricky little passage, but it helped me to look at it in a reverse order just to get some of the three main points that Paul says in this passage. So we'll start at verse 12, reading it in context, of course. But there are three things basically that he says here about the law. The first of all, the person who accepts the law as their means of salvation is cursed. That's what it says in verse 10. We'll start at verse 12. We'll do it in the reverse order. Sorry about that. It says there, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. The man who accepts the law as his means for salvation will stand or fall based on the law. That's it. If you're going to claim the law for your way of making yourself righteous, you stand or fall based on the law. Your life rests in the law. Your life rests in the commandments. That's what you're trusting in. And whether you live or die, it's in the Scriptures. It's on the Old Testament law. So if you accept that as your means of salvation, you stand or fall on that basis. And then in verse 11, what does he say? But you can't do it. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. For it is evident the just shall live by faith. So you can set yourself up in such a way that you're placing your faith in the works of the law, but the truth is in verse 11, no one can do it. And the last thing, you're cursed if you try. They're the three broad points that I got from these verses. If you're going to place your faith in the law, you've got to do every single one of them. And you can't, and you're cursed for it. That's basically the summary of that placing your faith in the law for salvation. So if you're trying to live by the law, you've got to do it all. And you should know that it's impossible, and the person who tries is cursed. You can't just sprinkle a little bit of law on top of grace. You can't add law to a faith-based salvation. It doesn't work. If it's got anything to do with your salvation, then you're putting yourself under the law and you need to do it all. You need to keep it all. This would have upset the Jews somewhat. They loved the law. They loved the law. They thought it was their means of justification with God. You know, even the rabbis tried to teach and prove that the patriarchs kept the law even before it was given. So Adam, Jacob, Isaac, a lot of them, they kept the law before it was given to Moses because God somehow revealed it to them ahead of time and they kept it. That's how set they are, how dedicated they are on justification by faith. Why? They wanted the patriarchs to be justified. They knew the only way was by keeping the law. The law was everything to the Jew. Genesis 15:6 says Abraham was justified by faith. Most Jewish scholars saw common people, you know, you and I, anyone else, who didn't have the law or had no interest in the law, as those that were under the curse of God. So they would look at the Gentiles who didn't have the law and say God's curse is upon them. Those people that have got no interest in the law, that's God's curse upon those people. Paul turns it around and says, you know what, you've got the law, the curse is upon you. The law is a curse. In verse 10, he's quoting from Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. Slightly different, but the words mean the same thing. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, Amen. Sad for the Jew. You know, they presumed to be in the place of blessing. They presumed that they had it in Abraham. We're the blessed people in Abraham. But Abraham was justified by faith. God promised. His promise was to justify all nations, the Gentiles, it tells us there, through faith. They missed the point. If you want to live by the law will curse you. Why? Because you need to keep it all. You need to keep it all. Those under the law are blessed. Those under the law are cursed. And there are a lot of peoples that have submitted themselves to a works-based salvation. They're trying so hard to do the very best. And most of them are 100% genuine. They're really trying to please God, and it can come down to pain or suffering or all kinds of things that you bring into your own life just to make amends to a holy God, but it's all for naught. They're deceived. They're trying so hard, and most of them are sincere, but they are ignorant of God's righteousness. Romans 10, verse 3, verse 2 tells us that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They love God, but they don't understand who He is. They have a zeal for Him, a desire, but they go about it the wrong way. They're ignorant of God's righteousness and they've substituted their own. They're going about to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. There are a lot of people in works-based religions trying to do that just now. But all the law brings is condemnation and cursing. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God, we've read. The just shall live by faith. That's a quote from Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4. Paul is using experience in the first part of this chapter and then Scripture in the last, or this section we're looking at now, to prove his point. The law will curse you, faith will save you. The two are mutually exclusive. They don't mix. Like oil and water, you can't mix the two if you're trusting in it for your salvation. The law is not of faith, we read there. The law is not of faith. Verse 12. Remember that Sermon on the Mount that Jesus spoke? Those people were coming to him thinking that they kept the law. They said, you know, I've kept all the commandments. I've done such a good job. And Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect. Perfect. Even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's the standard of law keeping. If you're trusting in the law to save you, you need to maintain the standard of righteousness the same as God. Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. If you want to live by the law, that's the standard. If you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Picture the soul of the unsaved, the soul of the one trusting in works to save them as a great sailing ship moored to a massive rock. Great chain tying the sailing vessel to the rock. And that chain is the works of the law. Now a great storm whips up and the boat's torn from side to side. How many of those chain links need to break before the ship is lost? Just the one. And it's the same when it comes to salvation by the law. It's not possible. We're told in the scriptures over and over and over again, no man is justified by the works of the law. If you want to be redeemed, you need to keep that law perfectly, and you can't. So how then? You can't make yourself right before God. You can't keep the law. You can't do it because of your family. You can't do it because of your country. You can't do it because you're baptized or circumcised or any other thing. How then do you make yourself right with God? How can we be made righteous? Paul concludes this section with Christ. Blessed in Abraham, no, blessed by faith. Cursed under the law, redeemed by Christ is our last and final point. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And we could spend a long time in this verse. We could spend a very, very long time thinking about how Christ redeemed us. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. The word redeemed is the word ex agorazo. It's one of the words I remember from Bible college because I love the picture that it painted. A bit of an illustration person. And I got a very vivid image painted for me at Bible college about Christ coming and buying us out of the marketplace. Ex agorazo is to purchase out of, or to redeem a slave, or to buy out of the slave pit. And I can very clearly remember someone teaching this, and I could picture myself in the pit with all the other slaves, and Christ coming down and dragging me out of the pit, because he paid the purchase price for me. He paid the ransom price. The price was his blood. Now we know the verse. I'll read it to you. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The price that purchased my soul from out of that slave pit of sin was the precious blood of the Saviour. And that's a picture that I glory in. He paid our debt. He paid our price. It's interesting, the quote given here in Galatians 3:13. Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree or hangeth on a tree. That's a quote from Deuteronomy 21. And it's interesting, I found as I was doing some research this last week, that Jewish history, every criminal sentenced to death after the execution was carried out. Every criminal sentenced to death under the Mosaic law, let me make that clear, under the law of Moses, after they were executed, and that was usually by stoning, their body would be taken and hung upon a post or a tree. And that was a visual image to everyone else that person was cursed by God, hung upon a tree. Now, the hanging upon a tree didn't warrant the curse of God. It was that they were cursed by God, and that was a symbol of it. Jesus Christ hung upon that cross. Was cursed by God. We read here that he redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And as he hung upon that tree, I can imagine all the Jews thinking, cursed by God. No wonder they had trouble understanding that he was the Messiah. You and I understand it. We know that he was cursed by God not for his own sins. He was cursed by God because upon that cross he bore in his body our sin. It wasn't his sin that held him there, it was yours and mine. And God the Father poured out his wrath upon the body of his only begotten Son. He suffered the curse for us. But the Jews didn't understand that. They saw a man dying on a cross and said, cursed by God. And in the Gospels you hear the Jews crying out, Jesus is accursed, Jesus is accursed. Because they associated that hanging upon a cross with the curse of God. How can the Messiah, the anointed one of God, be cursed by God? because of us. You and I that are saved know that he hung there on that cross for us. He took our place. We know that he was made a curse for us. Those two little words are very important. For our behalf, on our behalf, he died there for you and for me. We deserved it. We deserved the curse, the wrath, the punishment, but he took it. Can you and I keep the law? No. If we can't keep the law, are we cursed? Yes. But God sent his son, and he says, you know what, I'm not going to make you bear the curse. I'll put my son in your place. You deserve it. You can't keep the law. You deserve. You are cursed. But God sent his son to take your place. My sins and yours are paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. The curse is lifted, and we can praise God for that tonight. Why? Well, the obvious answer is because he loved us. But Paul gives two reasons here in verse 14 as to why Christ suffered for us. First of all, that the blessings in verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come unto the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Two things, that we might receive the blessing of Abraham and we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How do we receive them? Through faith, it says there, and through Jesus Christ. Through faith and through Jesus Christ. I wonder where you find yourself tonight. I trust that you're not thinking you're a Christian because you come to this church. I trust you come to this church because you're a Christian. And I know there are a lot of young people that are growing up and they're getting older all the time. And perhaps you've never really thought about it. You just come because mum and dad say that's where we're going on a Sunday. And you think if you're asked, are you a Christian, you'd say, yeah, I'm a Christian, mum and dad are a Christian. Or I'm a Christian, I go to one-way club. Or I'm a Christian, I go to church. But if that's the reason that you're giving for being a Christian, then you're not. You need to place your faith in Jesus Christ, that you may receive the spiritual blessings and that you might receive the promise of the Spirit. I trust that you're not trusting in your family or our nation or some ceremony for salvation, because it has never come that way. Not even for Abraham, not for the patriarchs, not for you and I. I'm going to close by reading Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. And I found this an interesting challenge. The Bible tells us there in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Choose life. Choose blessing in faith rather than cursing by law keeping. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And though parts of it are very hard to untangle sometimes, thank you that the gospel is a simple message. And the gospel has always been true. The gospel has always been simple. Thank you that Abraham believed and it was counted to him for righteousness. Thank you that we too have believed and it's been counted to us for righteousness. We pray, dear Father, that you would help us to rejoice and glory in that redemption that Christ paid for us. We thank you that he paid the price to redeem us from that slave pit of sin. We thank you that he bore the curse in his body upon the cross. Thank you that he did all that we need that we may be redeemed. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.